History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25 years old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Pastor Murray Townsend. He's part of INC, the International Network of Churches, and has been running an incredible Bible college in the Solomon Islands and all across the Pacific Islands. We're going to hear a bit of his story today. Welcome along, Murray. Tell us a bit of your background. Where were you born and raised?
Well, I'm a Melbourne boy, but don't hold that against me. Born and raised down in a place called Mentone, actually, and then moved to St Kilda very early in my life. But while I was in Mentone, I was part of a thing, I don't know whether it's even still alive, but the Boys Brigade.
Oh, yeah.
In the local Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved the whole concept of Boys Brigade. I and that's really where I got born again. And through the local Baptist church, start to grow a knowledge of God and just start to love God from there. That's really where I started.
And did you stay as a strong believer all through your teenage years, or did you do the prodigal son thing? What was life like for you then?
No, I got born again, and I really never... I've done some bad things or different things in my life, but I've never strayed from God.
Yeah.
Never strayed from God. It was, I got born again and never had to worry about me. I've always loved God ever since.
Fantastic, mate. And tell us a bit about your early career. What did you do after school?
As I left school, I was in Albert Park High School, which was fairly wild high school, and I turned into a plumber. So I was an air conditioning plumber, roofing plumber, and done all my apprenticeship end of the 70s, early 80s there. Yeah, so that's what I turned into, basically into building.
And what about your transition into ministry? How did you get into that?
I always had a dream about going around Australia. And so by the end of 1984, I'd acquired a wife, a F-100. 34-foot caravan, and I started heading around Australia.
Yeah.
And in that tripping around Australia, I ended up at a place called Innisfail, which is just south of Cairns. And out of that church, in the Innisfail church, they had quite a few islanders up there, obviously. And from that, they had a love, they just wanted to go back and tell their people about Christ. And so in that, over a process of, I was up there for 6 years before the Bible College started. In that process, got into ministry, Bible College was, in those days, it was just Clark Taylor and Video Bible College. Did Bible College, and then they needed somebody up in the Solomon Islands, and the local pastor, Ashley Schmierer, asked me one day, he said, would you go and run the Bible College in the Solomon Islands for 6 months? That's where I get a bit emotional. Something on the inside of me jumped, and I've never been the same since.
Wow, it's good to hear how passionate you are about your ministry. And I've heard that, you've had hundreds and hundreds of people go through your Bible college there and your ministry there in the Solomons. Tell us, what does it look like?
We are one big dormitory. Because what we got to do is one of the things with missionaries is you're not trying over there to westernize them, you're to put Christianity into them. And one of the things to work with the culture, and one of the things we did was the builder who built the place, David Harney, just grabbed a hold of a design concept where we just had a big dormitory with a big open area in the middle where we can cook and fellowship. And it just works so well to mix all the cultures together because, every island is a culture. Every nation has so many cultures on the inside of them. But they just come to a place where they can all just mix together there. And it really, really works well for the local cultures.
And I understand in the Solomons, there's, it's quite well known for its Christianity. But there's also a lot of witchcraft and cultural things there. Tell us a bit about, some of the battles you faced there.
Oh, absolutely. We've had some great battles in with witchcraft over in the islands. It's amazing that, you know, the renownedness of witchcraft in the islands. But I've had some great fun with the islands with witchcraft. One time we dug up a grave of a witch doctor, and if anybody knows, digging up the grave of a witch doctor over in the islands is a fairly powerful thing. I mean, all the villagers, they just thought I had to die because I'd desecrated the grave of this witch doctor, and they all believed I was going to be dead. But, you know, 5 o'clock the next morning for prayer meeting, here I was. And of course, they just couldn't believe it. They said, "You know, how can you still be alive? You know, all the signs were somebody had to die last night." And I said, "Well, the trouble is, I'm a white fella. I didn't know the signs to look for, so I'm still alive." That's oftentimes the way a lot of witchcraft works. People have been, you know, they see the signs and they believe in it. So whatever you have faith in, if you have faith that you're going to die, you're going to die. And I honestly believe if an islander had have dug up that witch doctor that day, they would have died because that's what they believe. And of course, I didn't know their beliefs, so I'm still here today. And of course, on the different islands, you know, the different islands, we've had so many attacks, witchcraft, you know, and we are talking about a Christian nation, but of course, these are the real issues in people's lives that they go back. Christianity so many times has just been a band-aid on top of things, but their real belief, the real belief system on them is witchcraft. Mm. That's what they really believe.
And I've had a few friends that have ministered in the Solomons that have seen revivals and moves of God over there. Have you experienced that?
Oh, absolutely. We have absolutely seen the passion they have for God gets a hold of them. And we've had the greatest meetings of my life have been over in the Solomon Islands, where we had a guy jumping up into the rafters, swinging from the rafters, shouting. We'd sing, we'd preach. We had a guest speaker, Dave McDonald. He preached, and we just kept singing. So he came back and preached again. And then we kept singing it, and he came back and preached again. So, you know, we've had some outstanding meetings over there. They're just such great people. But and that's on the back, you know, they've had some amazing moves of God. The island of Malaita had an amazing move of God in the 70s. The church over there, just you know, people pray. People will pray all through the night. It's one of the great things about the island people. They, you know, they have an ability to be able to pray and to lock into God. And when you do that, you lock into the presence of God comes. And I've never felt it like that for a long time in Australia. But, I'd love to see it in Australia too.
Do you think it's something to do with our westernised way? You know, like, we don't really talk much about the spiritual realm in our Aussie culture. And, you know, there's a lot of stories you hear in, you know, Papua New Guinea, Solomons, you know, around the islands. You hear all these incredible miracles happening there and moves of God. Do you think it's because they just have a bit more belief about the supernatural than we do here in the West?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been educated, and in that education we center on our mind too much, whereas the islands, and that is the question that people ask me most of all. How can I see blind eyes open, which I have in the Solomon Islands? And, you know, people get off their deathbeds and different things. And how come we don't see it in Australia? It's simpler because we really don't believe. We have head knowledge belief. We understand the Bible. We know the Bible. But it's a deeper knowledge. You've got to know that you know that you know that this is going to happen. And island people, they just have a simplicity of faith that they just believe when they pray, when we pray, God's going to heal them, and God heals them. And sometimes that's simplistic, but I tell you what, there's life in that. I think in the West, we watch television too much, to be honest with you. That's the basic truth. We just watch television far too much. It's not good for us.
No, that's true. I've got a preacher mate that calls it hellavision. I think, he's nailed it there, I think.
He has absolutely nailed it.
So, mate, tell us a bit more about what it looks like now. So I know that you not only have people in ministry in the Solomons, you send church planters all around the Pacific. How does that work?
Absolutely. We have a Bible college, not so much for just having the knowledge of the Bible, although we allow people to do that. But the primary purpose of the Bible college is to establish churches. It's like anything, you know, you want to build a kingdom, you've got to build infrastructure. And if you want to build the kingdom of God, you've got to start building churches over in different places, because that sustains the kingdom of God. And so if you've got churches, and of course the churches go in and go out and go in and fashion out of fashion, in a fashion, out of fashion. So, you know, you've just got to keep replacing pastors and keep building churches. So we've seen over 300 to 400 churches planted out of that Bible college. We've had a student roll of just on 1,000 people, and we've seen about 400 churches, which is great numbers. And I say that because we have an ability to go up to Papua New Guinea and some of the island places where people want to start churches. And I say, well, you start your church, and then I'll train you for a Bible college. So, you know, they have a year's experience, and generally I've found that with a year's experience of not having done Bible college, by the time they come to Bible college, they're hungry and they want to go back and start get into their church again. So we've had great success in that way.
If people want to get involved, I know that, you know, there's a lot of Aussies that have done a lot of mission work in the Solomons. Are you welcoming Aussies over there to help out when you're doing ministry?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. One of the greatest things we can do is actually go and visit them. And in visiting them, not just turning up in the capital, you've got to get out into the islands, into the villages where people, you know, they're the real Solomon Islands. They're fantastic people. They're very hospitable. They will give anything that they've got to you. You know, a couple of white people turning up in the middle of the bush in the Solomon Islands, you know, everybody comes out to see you. So yeah. The churches love it.
Yeah.
You know, people just come out to see you just to see what you are, which is outstanding, because, of course, that gives the pastor an opportunity to reach people that have never, you know, don't usually come into church. But if a big team of white people turn up, it makes a big difference to their local village. And everybody turns up to hear you.
Fantastic, mate. Well, it's on my bucket list. I'm hoping to visit there one day, so hopefully we can do some ministry there. Now, mate, before we go, you know, you mentioned that you came to Christ at a young age. You know, there might be people listening that have never actually heard the gospel and never had an opportunity to respond. Would you share with our listeners, what is the gospel and how do people respond?
Well, the gospel is simply this, that God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. And in that, His Son died and shed His blood to set us free. And why I say that is because the law is our biggest enemy. That's what He came to do. You know, the Hebrews 2:2 says that, you know, for every unjust work, there's a penalty. And so that penalty keeps heaping up against us all the time. But that's why Jesus came. He came to pay that price that we wouldn't have to pay at the end of our lives. And so if you don't know Christ, you're missing out on, somebody's got to pay the price, and you don't want to pay it yourself. When God has sent His Son that has already paid the price, all you have to do is to receive that. All you have to do is to believe on that. And you believe on that with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and you just believe that Jesus Christ has taken my sins away and you shall be saved. So many people just think that going to church is their answer to going to heaven, because nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But it's not just church. You know, I honestly wish that if people, I've had such an exciting life in church and in Christ, you know, in the training and missions and going out and doing something. You know, I look at people in the church today and I think, you know, you're not doing much. Get out there. Christianity can be the most exciting life that has ever been.
Absolutely, mate. And I can just tell the passion in your voice. It's been so good to hear what God's done in your life, Murray. And, you know, if people do want to respond and maybe they want a Bible or some information about following Jesus, or if people want to get involved in ministry in the Solomons and visit this incredible work you're doing there with INC, you can contact us here at info@historymakersradio.com. Send us an email and we can pass on a Bible and some information about following Jesus, or if you want to find out more about the Solomons and want to get in contact with Murray, contact us through the website historymakersradio.com. Well, Murray, it's been so good to catch up with you today, mate. I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, mate.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.